Ha-choo!
The sneeze seemed to have taken the top right off of Vicar Robert Ducairne's head. Not even the temple's sacred, always comfortable precincts seemed capable of defeating the common cold. This was the third cold Ducairne had already entertained this winter, and this one looked like being worse than either of its predecessors. He paused long enough to get out his handkerchief and blow his nose, taking the opportunity to recover from the sneeze at the same time, then resumed his progress along the corridor. He was already late for the scheduled meeting, although timing wasn't actually all that critical. He was the Church of God Awaiting's treasurer, after all. The people waiting for him all reported to him, and it wasn't as if they could start things without him. And it wasn't as if he were really looking forward to the conference, for that matter. The treasury had been hemorrhaging money ever since the Kingdom of Caris smashed the initial attack upon it, and he didn't see that situation getting better any time soon. Especially not with the blow the church's cash flow had taken. Not only had the kingdoms of Caris and Chisholm and the princedoms of Emerald and Coruscant, not to mention the Grand Duchy of Zebediah, abruptly stopped paying their tithes, which in Caris's case had been very large tithes, but Caris's relentless destruction of its enemies' commerce had dealt severe damage to the economies of those enemies. And as their economy slowed, so did their ability to generate tithes. According to Ducairne's latest estimates, the cash flow from the mainland kingdom's annual tithes had dropped by somewhere around 10%, and total tithes, including those which should have been coming in from the lands now in rebellion against Mother Church, had fallen by over a third. It was fortunate the church had so many other lucrative sources of income, but there was a limit to how much slack could be squeezed out of those other sources. For the first time in mortal memory, the Church of God Awaiting was spending money faster than it was taking money in, and that sort of thing couldn't be sustained forever. Which, unfortunately, certain of his colleagues seemed to find difficult to grasp. His expression darkened as he thought about those other colleagues. Neither Trenaire nor Clinton had mentioned to him that they intended to interview the Earl of Corus this morning. He was fairly confident he had sources neither of those two suspected he possessed, but he wasn't going to risk revealing those sources' existence by challenging his colleagues on something he wasn't supposed to know anything about. He doubted either of them would have been prepared to make an issue out of it if he'd suddenly turned up for their interview, yet he was quite positive they deliberately timed things, so it just happened to fall opposite his already scheduled treasury meeting. Both of them, each for his own reasons, would have found Ducairne's presence for the discussion they had in mind decidedly unwelcome. And that, unfortunately, neatly underscored the differences between him and them, and the dangers yawning about him because of those differences. He paused, looking out the windows which formed one entire side of the hallway. The snow had stopped shortly after dawn, and brilliant sunlight sparkled and bounced from the new, deeper layers of trackless white which had blanketed the temple's grounds. The mystic, unbreakable, perfectly insulated crystal of the windows muted the snow glare, however, and the icy vista's pristine purity made him acutely aware of the warm air moving gently about him, and made him think about all the people outside the temple, especially the city of Zion's many poor, who were anything but warm and comfortable this freezing cold morning as well. That was yet another thought he was unprepared to share with his erstwhile colleagues in the group of four. Not because they didn't already realize it would have occurred to him, but because it would have done no good and might do quite a lot of harm. Zamson Trenaire would simply have looked at him with a certain impatient incomprehension. If the Church of God Awaiting's Chancellor ever thought of Zion's poor at all, it was undoubtedly to remember the passage from the Book of Langhorne, in which the archangel had warned that they would have the poor with them always. If that had been good enough for Langhorne, it was good enough for Trenaire. Elaine Maguire, on the other hand, probably wouldn't even notice that Ducairne had mentioned them. These days, especially, all of the church's Captain General's thoughts and efforts were fully concentrated on building up the fleet needed to crush the upstart Empire of Caris once and for all. The fact that he'd started out building the wrong fleet, and that Ducairne's treasury had dispersed a staggering sum to pay for hundreds of galleys, which were effectively useless, lent a certain emphasis to his concentration, no doubt. Of course, Maguire had never been overburdened with intellect in the first place. Concentrating the entire scant store of it he possessed shouldn't require all that great an effort. He should have been able to spare at least a little thought for the men and women and children, especially the children, for whom every vicar was supposed to be responsible. And then there was Clinton, the Grand Inquisitor, the one member of the group of four who would have regarded Ducairne's concern over the poor with neither incomprehension nor indifference. Ducairne sometimes wished he himself had felt called to the Order of Bedard instead of the Order of Chihiro. He was pretty sure any Bedardist who wasn't terrified of the Grand Inquisitor would have unhesitatingly diagnosed him as a paranoiac, and one whose paranoia was growing steadily deeper as well. Of course, finding any Bedardist who was insane enough not to be terrified of Clinton would probably have been an impossible task. Still, Ducairne would have liked to have something besides his own layman's opinion, where matters of the mind were concerned at least, to go on.